And I believe the rabbi is with us.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I am good. I'm doing good.
That's wonderful. Good, good to be back on.
It's good.
And we have a fascinating, absolutely fascinating Torah portion this week.
Parshat Ki Tisa.
Parshat Ki Tisa, which is the Torah portion of probably, if you really think about it, a certain part of it is really the darkest hour, one of the darkest hours of the Jewish history, the Jewish nation, because we see that, as the Torah says, that the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. What does that mean? That Moses was gone up to the mountain to go and receive the tablets, to go and receive the Ten Commandments from God, and he told them, the Jews, that 40 days from now, I am going to come back down. And obviously, came the 40th day in the Jewish people's mind, the Jewish nation's mind that was there.
And where is Moses?
And Moses is not here. And Moses told them that he's going to be 40 days. So, which means 24-hour full day. And we know that the Jewish religion, the time starts the night before. So you have the night, to say from tonight till tomorrow night. That's a full 24-hour period.
Yeah, like the eve of.
Correct. However, Moses had told them during the day that 40 days, I'm going to be back. They counted that day, which was a big problem because it really wasn't that day. So come the 40th day in their mind, which really was only the 39th day, Moses doesn't show up. So what happens? Satan says, let me capitalize on that. And what happens? He shows them, as the Medrash talks about, the Gemara, the Talmud says as well, he showed them in the sky, he showed them an image of the coffin, which was supposedly the coffin of Moses. Moses is gone. He's not coming back down. Now what's going to happen? We don't have a leader. And the people converged upon Aaron and said to him, arise, make us a god. And Aaron saw and he built an altar before them. The question is, obviously, is what did Aaron see? And he saw that his nephew, Hur, was slain before him, which had a meaning to him specifically, because Moses placed Aaron and Hur, the son of Miriam, in charge of the camp when he ascended the mountain. And when the people demanded an idol, Hur arose and rebuked them, whereupon they rose up against him and they killed him. Now Aaron sees and says, oh, whoa, I don't want to get killed over here. What's going to happen? What are they going to do to me? So Aaron tried to busy them, and he told him, go and get all the gold earrings and so on and so forth from your wives. And obviously the wives had wanted to have nothing to do with it, and they did not have anything to do with it. And then eventually they had to take their own gold and so on and so forth. And they came to Aaron, and then Aaron said, well, you know, I have to build the altar myself. It can't be with other people. He was all trying to delay it, hoping that in the right time Moses is going to come down.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be. Now the question that everyone has is, how could the Jews have stumbled so low? They just witnessed 10 plagues in Egypt. They just witnessed the splitting of the sea. They witnessed the desert with the manna and so on and so forth. They witnessed standing at Mount Sinai hearing God. And they go so low to not have faith and to say, now we want you to go and create an idol? How did they get this? What happened? And we know that even to ask, to strengthen the question a little bit more, is if they were seeking a replacement for Moses, because that's what they ultimately were looking for, because Moses was not there anymore. Why did they not appoint another leader? They should have asked Aaron, Aaron, you take over now. Lead us. Go up on heaven. See what happened to Moses. Get to do something. What was so important for them that they needed to put an idol together? So there are so many different explanations. But one of the things, and because we don't have a long time and many, many hours to talk about it, one of the explanations that I saw that the Hasidic teachings explain is that Moses was more than a leader to the people. He was a living model of the divine immanence. As the Torah attests to that, the Moshe was an Ish Elokim. He was
the
a man of
God.
God.
Yeah.
Right. A man who was so completely conformed to the divine will. He was so completely, his whole life, his mind, his personality, all of his being was pure. It was an unindated, unaltered expression of divine truth. And in Moses, the people of Israel perceived how there's no one else besides him. That everything that he's doing is God. Now with Moses' disappearance, the people of Israel felt that they had that need for a visual something of God. But this time, they wanted a physical object as their prototype. In the belief that this would constitute even a greater testimony to the truth that there is none else besides him. In other words, that God, that if we take this golden item,
yeah,
they reason that, okay, this will truly demonstrate that how even the most mundane is not separate from the divine reality. In other words, everything is godliness. So this is just going to be a physical thing that we can see. And we see even later on when the Jews eventually God forgave them and he told them that in the Holy Temple they're going to have to do all their repentance. And what was their repentance for the golden calf? Was most of the stuff in the Holy Temple was gold, right?
Yeah.
And it had to be all done. And who gave all the gold? All the women who did not originally participate in that. So the sanctuary of God was made with gold, as well as the cherubim, the cherubs on the top was made, the faces, was made with a solid block of gold. And that symbolized the relation between God and Israel and this construction of the sanctuary was to serve as their atonement for the sin of the golden calf. However, if you go and look, fine, okay, did the Israelites really do anything wrong? They wanted to connect to God. They wanted to have this physical entity. However, after the whole golden calf fiasco, we still are trying to figure out how did they get that loaf. It's very nice. However, they realize this is something that might be against or opposite to what godliness was. And the mistake that they made, is that when God commands to construct a material, something or receptacle for his presence, the minute that God said to do it, it becomes holy. It's a godly object. However, when a man, an individual person, a human being chooses a material representation of the divine presence, I am the one that is setting that up. This is idolatry. A distraction from the truth. Although there's no one else besides him. For it is not a sanctified object that expresses godliness, but the fact that it is serving as an instrument of man's fulfillment of the divine will, which means that if God tells you to make it, then that something becomes holy. I don't have that capability to make something holy from an object because I decide. So where there is a divine command to make a certain physical object or do a certain physical deed, God tells you, you need to eat matzah on Passover, that matzah now becomes spiritual, becomes a holy thing. This is a commandment from God. But now where there is no such a command, only it was the human choice of a certain object, then what happens is, this is something that is contrary, this is something that is different to godliness. And therefore, that's where they made the mistake. But even, everyone knows the mistake is also, they miscalculated a day. And therefore, when Moses came down, they were like, Moses was like, what are you guys doing? I came down on the 40th day that I told you, and this is what you're doing. He shatters it. Nevertheless, even with the great sin that they did, what happened? God forgave them.
Yeah.
And he told them, okay, if you're truly sorry with what you're doing, I will forgive you. And they were. And because of that, they had to do, time in the desert, so on and so forth. But nevertheless, God still forgave them. That's the whole concept of teshuvah. That even if we do something that's not 100% correct in God's eyes, but if we fully repent, guess what happens? God will forgive us 100%. So that's something that I thought is something very interesting that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
Do your best.
Yes, exactly. So now, Purim is coming up, and we actually have three events happening leading up to Purim and Purim itself. We have a Hamantashen bake. We have two Hamantashen bakes, actually. Starting on Sunday, March 3rd, we have kids in the kitchen. We have a Hamantashen bake for kids, where they're going to learn all about the Hamantash. They're going to learn how to bake it. And not only are they going to make their own, they're going to be able to fill it with an array of fillings and toppings. They can create their own Hamantash. So that's happening Sunday, March 3rd at 3 o'clock at Chabad, which is 1506 Victoria Avenue. People can RSVP to the email address windsorrabbi@gmail.com. That's $5 a child. Then we have a women's Hamantashen Bake. But that's going to be Wednesday, March 6th, where they're going to learn the significance, the spirituality of the Purim and the Hamantash, and they're going to make their own Hamantashen Bake, and that's going to be at Chabad as well. And my wife's going to give a little talk about it as well. And it's always very interesting when all the women come together and socializing. That people should RSVP as well. That there is a charge of $10 a adult. And then we also have then our actual Purim event, which is going to be March 21st at 5 o'clock in the JCC. It's March 21st, and we have Megillah reading at 5, dinner and entertainment at 5:30, and we're just locking in now an incredible entertainer, which we'll be able to let everyone know who it will be next week. But the theme for this year is Purim in the Palace. We're going to have Megillah reading, a royal Purim feast, music, Purim crafts for the kids. So come dressed up as a king or a queen or anything that you want. All the kids that come dressed up obviously get a prize. It's $20 an adult. Kids that's 12 and under are free. And please, you can go onto our website, windsorchabad.com, and you can RSVP, and you can pay by credit cards. It even saves you time at the door. We try and do everything that makes the most efficiency. So, there's a lot going on. So, make sure there's something for adults, for kids, for the whole family. Make sure you're part of it, and this month is going to be an amazing month of getting ready for Purim.
And we will remind our listeners next week. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and
you
great
too.
Weekend.
Absolutely. We'll talk. Shabbat Shalom. Be well.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.